Thank you, Cindy. 7:18 in the morning, and well, this is a big issue. We talked about it at some length with Tim Heim last week on Brad and Dan, and the conversation continues, and hopefully there'll be some action as well. Joining us now is the state senator from the 35th District. That's in the eastern portion of the state, Senator Tony Guglielmo. Senator, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, Senator. How are you?
Very good.
Well, this is a big, big day, Tony. This joint public hearing involving crumbling foundations. How about giving us an overview?
Yeah, well, there were about 19 bills floating around about the crumbling foundations. So some of us decided that what we should do is have one public hearing, where we could get everybody up so that the homeowners didn't have to come up in front of 3 or 4 committees to tell the story, so that the chief elected officials would just have one time to come up because they're in the middle of their budget season. And we thought that'd be more effective. And plus it would get more people in the room, too. A lot of the legislators, especially the young ones, the new ones, because we've had a lot of turnover with the last election, they're only vaguely aware of this problem.
Your district, by the way, is comprised of Ashford, Chaplin, Coventry, Eastford, Ellington, Hampton, Pomfret, Stafford, Tolland, Union, Vernon, Willington, and Woodstock. And
yeah.
I know Tim Heim, for example, is from Willington, and he leads the coalition. So a lot of these crumbling foundations are occurring in your district, right?
Yeah, right, because Brad, it's right in the center. The quarry is in Willington, Becker Construction Quarries in Willington, the Modus company that poured the concrete is in Stafford, and as you know, the cement trucks can only travel 90 minutes circle from because that the concrete begins to harden, cement begins to harden. So you can almost make a circle of 90-minute drive around Stafford, and then you'll have what is the area that's hit the hardest, and that's mostly my district, although it goes into Manchester, goes into South Windsor. I think it's 38 towns in all that have some of the problem.
Talking with State Senator Tony Guglielmo, Dan Lavalla with you, Senator Guglielmo in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. And Senator, what can government do for these homeowners?
Well, I think we have to do something because the problem is so immense that these small towns up in this part of Connecticut would go bankrupt. I mean, there's no way that because the grand list would shrink. People would begin to walk away from their homes. That has happened, but only to a very small degree so far. So what would happen? You take a town like Willington, 6,000 people. I think they have, I'm going to have my numbers a little wrong, but 2,200 homes total in the town. 1,200 of them were built within this period of time that the problem raised its ugly head. So that would mean you could have, and all of them, almost all of them would have concrete poured from this cement company because, you know, that's the one right in the middle. And generally speaking, these companies have almost a monopoly because it's hard for competitors to come and set up shop if there's not a big enough market. So almost all those foundations, would be fair to say, were poured by the company that's in question. So you conceivably could have 1,200. So even if you have a third of those, you're talking about $150,000 a foundation. So if all those people walked away from their homes, Willington, it would be impossible for them to recover.
Right. Now the big issue, of course, is the presence of this pyrotite in the cement mixture, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Did this show up years ago? I'm understanding that this really has affected homes that were built after, what, 1984?
Yes. What did I learn a lot, believe me, about concrete and minerals and cement mixers and all of that. But, yeah, the pyrotite is a natural mineral in the soil, so it's found everywhere. But in fact, we had a panel about 2 weeks ago. We had a large concrete companies come in and talk to us about it. So they're geologists and knew there was pyrrhotite in the soil, but it was never considered to be a problem. It was just a naturally occurring mineral. They had never seen any problems with it before. It seems to be in a certain concentration it causes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we have to learn more about, the science of it. We did have a study from UConn, but they didn't go into that. They just went into pinpoint what the problem was, and that it was pyrrhotite. And, of course, they have the same problem in Quebec, Canada. There's a vein of this that comes down right down from Quebec right through Wellington, Stafford, Vernon, South Windsor, this area.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yeah, it's just a freak a bad luck, you know.
Yeah.
It couldn't be worse. And it looks like it. And the folks from Quebec came down about a month ago. They were great. And we had a large meeting on a Saturday morning, and they drove down, and they're about 5 years ahead of us in this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they explained to us the trials and tribulations they had. They finally did get the federal government in Canada involved, but it took a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that the federal government can step in and help us out. I think FEMA is the absolute perfect vehicle to do that,
mm-hmm.
because they have the temporary housing, because these folks need temporary housing.
Right.
So, I mean, they've got all the tools to make this happen. Now, in credit to the governor, he's gone to him twice. They've turned us down twice. But I think with this new administration, we've got to approach them again and really put the heat on, because we definitely need the help. I think it's a $1 billion problem or more.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the issues, of course, as you mentioned, is there's this vein that runs down through Canada.
Yeah.
But you said the Canadian people, they're 5 years ahead. In what way? How are they 5 years ahead?
Well, they're starting to fail about 5 years before ours,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little more. And it's a little different up there. They seem to have a shorter time span between the time that the foundation was poured and the time that it began to crack.
Right.
So that's interesting, too. So we don't know if the pyrrhotite there was concentrated even more. Those are the things we're trying to find out. But so we've got a kind of a little bit of a model to follow with the Canadian model. And they did get federal assistance. And everybody's working pulling in the same direction here. I mean, the governor's been good. Lieutenant Governor Joe Courtney's been on it. It's not a partisan issue in any stretch. I mean, we all realize we've got a major problem, and eventually we'll hurt everybody in Connecticut, because you can't have 38 towns in distress and not affect the entire state.
Well, I will say this, Senator. We had Tim Heim on the program last week,
yeah.
And he wasn't necessarily that happy with the governor's plan for allowing loans. He was looking for something better than that.
You know, I agree with that. I understand what he's saying. I mean, if I was in his shoes, and you know, and I'm close enough to it to understand, he's saying, hey, we already paid for our homes. We didn't do anything wrong. It's not like we went ahead and looked for a cheap job. You know, we didn't put this out to bid and say, okay, I'm going to take this foundation because it's less than the other one. So they did everything they were supposed to do, and yet they got blindsided. So they're saying, hey, so I understand that they're not interested in loans, and I agree with it. But I think the fact that the state of Connecticut has stepped up and said we are willing to help, that's a step. That's a plus all in itself. Now, the form that takes is yet to be decided, in my opinion. You know, the government wants loans, but I think that we have a long way to go, and it might be something more agreeable to them. I don't think it's going to be 100%, because even in Canada, they only receive 70%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to take a hit, which is unfortunate. I mean, these are good folks that did nothing wrong, as I said, but they are going to take some kind of hit. But the fact that the state of Connecticut is saying, you know, we're in, I think that's positive. And in fact, the governor's met with Tim directly on one-on-one about 6 weeks ago.
Right.
So no, you know, I'm a Republican, they're Democrats, but that's immaterial. This is. Not that kind of problem, I don't think. It's not a partisan type problem. I've been working closely with Steve Cassano from Ancestor on it, because he's chairman of the Planning and Development. And you know, a lot of folks, both Republican and Democrat, have stepped up.
Right. All right. Tony, one of the things I'm hearing about this, and we're talking with Senator Tony Guglielmo, one of the things I'm hearing about this presence of pyrotite is that it really doesn't show up and it really doesn't start having an effect on basements until maybe 15, 20 years down the road, so it's awfully difficult to test for this stuff. What do you hear?
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right. And then even when you have it tested, this is the kind of what concerns people. The engineers can come up, they'll do a core sample, and they'll say, okay, Brad, as of right now, you don't have it. But when they write the report, that's the way they write it. As of the moment they did the test, there's no evidence of pyrotite.
Right.
So what happens, if you're somebody looking for a home to buy, and you're deciding between, Wellington and Stafford and someplace in Glastonbury or somewhere else, that might make you nervous. Say, yeah, there's none now, but
right.
what about 5 years from now? I mean, it's really a difficult problem. And the other part of the problem, it's all new. We're all on new ground here.
Right.
The Quebec thing gives us a little sample of what to do, but, there's not a whole set of, they did it this way in New Jersey. So we're kind of inventing the wheel here.
Yes.
And it's a little tricky, and that has caused a lot of people to be frustrated because it's slow.
So, again, this is going to take place today. It starts at 10 o'clock in room 2C at the Legislative Office Building, and this is going to be a joint committee hearing, right?
Yes, there's about five committees involved. So we're hoping for a good turnout. I hope there's buses coming from several of the towns.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the legislature, it's good to have a good presence like that because, as I said, some of the legislators are not too familiar with it, and it always creates a buzz
mm-hmm.
when there's a lot of people in the building. Like the other day when the union construction workers came in and on prevailing wage,
right.
First thing everybody asked is, what's going on?
And well, that's the kind of buzz we're looking for today.
Well,
what's going on?
You'll have the buzz over there, that's for sure. Senator, thanks very much
for
illuminating our audience. You have yourself a great day.
You too now. Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye
care.
Now.